Hello and welcome to the WS podcast. My name is Wojciech Salski. I'll be your host for today. Before we begin, might just remind you, if you haven't already, please make sure to follow and subscribe. Depending on your platform, you may be able to click for the notifications to sort of show the next episode as it comes out. If you'd like to support the podcast as well by sharing it with your friend, maybe a family member, maybe putting it on social media, that's also really, really wonderful, and it will help the podcast to grow. So I deeply appreciate that for sure. If you'd like to support the podcast any other way, maybe by sending me an email, like some of you have been doing recently more. And yeah, it's just a honey to my heart. It's a really wonderful thing to hear that someone's benefiting from my rambles, often quite spontaneous ones. Then please do. You can follow the link below. There is option there also to sort of contribute towards the podcast by buying me a so-called coffee. Not necessarily it might be a coffee, but still, you know, it will definitely help me out and just help me make this my actual full-time job rather than a full-time hobby. But yeah, if you don't want to do that, that's also completely fine. And I appreciate you, being here with me. Yet again, this is one of those episodes where my face will remain hidden. The studio is still in the making, not much changed. I'm waiting for my wife to come back with me to the UK in January, and we'll go from there. I'm also waiting for a quota for the podcast logo, sort of printout to make it a nice sort of background article. So I think realistically, optimistically, of course, next week everything's done. Realistically, it's more like the end of January that you'll see my face again. In the meantime, I'll, I might record an episode or two more at the beginning of the year, even though, we'll be still in audible form only. But anyhow, guys, thank you for being here. And it is yet again, by now, I think the third or the fourth year end of ours together. By the time you're listening to this, it must be the 29th or maybe even later. Hopefully you're listening to it sometime around the year end / beginning. Of course, it is applicable at any point in your year, but I think in many ways we appreciate these sort of rituals, rites of passage, changes, times of festivities and shifting gears, let's say. And if the new year is for you what helps you out in changing your direction slightly or maybe optimizing your course, then so be it. It certainly helps me. I find the planning process, the dreaming process of the next year and the reviewing process of the year that passed quite exhilarating. I've already made my peace with the year that went. In my notebook, which I've mentioned again and again, I'm using the Clever Fox calendar. You can literally just use anything you want, maybe in a digital form as well. Personally, I quite like the pen to paper activity and the feeling that it gives me. So I've reviewed my year. It's been quite a year. If you have been following the show for quite some time, you know that many changed over the past few months, and it's just exciting. My life is evolving in a way that I appreciate it, and in many ways I'm deciding upon it to shift that way, and that's always a good sign when one is satisfied with the direction, let's say. And so I've been reviewing what I've managed to do, where I came short, what maybe kind of was put on a back burner or even completely sort of left out of the equation of my time and effort this year. I've met some wonderful people. I've stopped being in touch with some wonderful people. It just, life goes on, right? You continue on your path, and that path changes, I think, with every step you take. They say that you cannot walk into the river twice. You cannot walk into the same river twice. And of course, that's also from the perspective that you're never the same person, but also the river is never the same river. So I've been thinking about that quite a bit recently. Now, for this week's main message, I've decided, this year's main message, really, the end of year, I've decided to share with you some ideas on success of your own choosing, your kind of recipe for a successful path finding and exercising your right to claim what is to be yours. I've recently listened again to this wonderful audio by Earl Nightingale called The Stranger's Secret. I will link it below for you. And this episode is certainly in many ways inspired by this audio. I've been thinking for quite some time, what can I offer you at this year's end? And I didn't want to repeat myself, you know. Many of the things we talk about on this show sort of repeat, because many of the things that are powerful in our lives are also often very, very simple. And some may say they are cliches. Some may say that they are, you know, cheap advice, unsolicited advice from time to time. But in many ways, I think the foundation is very, 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 very simple. Consistency, passion, dedication, truthfulness to your craft, to your efforts, to your love, to whatever you do, and integrity with yourself and within yourself. I think these are the foundations for any success out there ever. And as Tony Robbins likes to say, raising your standards, right? If you want to change something, you have to raise your standards about that thing. And it's not about expecting more, rather giving more from yourself to begin with and expecting more because of that, what you've given, right? So for example, a simple example I always come back to is, if you want to get in shape and live a healthier, more active life, think, what would a person that is in shape and living an active life be doing on the daily, and start doing that. That's what I do. You know, if I see that I'm sort of maybe not feeling as healthy as I could feel, and maybe I'm feeling a bit sluggish, or I've not been working out for a while, and I'm noticing my body changing in a direction I don't really want to go, I always come back to the basics. What kind of a food, what kind of a nutrition I'm giving to my body, what kind of a pattern of the day I'm giving to my body, what kind of a rest I'm giving to my body, and of course, what kind of a challenge and exercise, the activity I give to my body. If I feel over a prolonged time that I've been lazy, I can tell I've been lazy on the many fronts. And usually laziness sort of creeps up on the many other aspects, which is the same way, the other way around. I've noticed again and again, and I think this is a cliche yet again to note, that success breeds more success. Someone that takes care of their health very well is likely to be taking care of their finance better as well, you know, and they might be taking care of their relationships better, because it sort of spills out, right? One habit, one good habit can accelerate a bunch of other great habits. It's the message of The Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's the message, which I'll link below to the episode if you'd like to check it out. It's the message of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People book as well. It's always very, very similar and very, very simple. You know, you got to start somewhere, make small 1% incremental change day in, day out. And over time, you'll see your life changing. But let's get to the point. So if you'd like to explore the other episodes I've done on the end of the year, please just check them out. I might actually link them below as well for you if you are new to the show and would like to hear what I offered in 2024 and 2023, 2022, even 2021. But for the time being, for today, I thought that after listening to the Stranger's Secret monologue by Earl Nightingale, I thought it's a suitable topic: success, defining your success. So, first of all, let's maybe try to define what success is on as a definition, an objective definition. A great definition I've heard from someone, maybe it was actually from the same listen, is that a success is a progressive advancement towards a worthy ideal. So to feel successful, you should be able to feel that over time you're going in the right direction, whatever that direction means for you, right? A worthy ideal, whatever that ideal is for you. So in the example below of the healthy lifestyle, being, you know, having an athletic body, having not much illness, feeling active and strong, one could say that feeling successful, being successful, is that over time you can notice your body changing for the better, you can notice your energy levels increasing, and you can notice feeling better incrementally over time, better and better. And you know, if you've ever worked out at the gym for a while and did not stop and did actually put your mind to it, and obviously have been eating healthily in the meantime, you know what I mean. For the first few weeks, you might not notice much change, which is usually the most difficult point to many that are starting. But I promise to you that if you put your mind to it for 3 months, you're going to see the changes. Your body will literally adapt. And of course, you know, if you go to the gym and you just sit at the gym every 3 days for an hour and not do anything, it's not like suddenly your muscles will appear. Of course, you have to work out, you have to work for it. But the point is, consistency over time breeds results in that and any other area, I would argue. So let's first define success for yourself. And this is a great, I think, a wonderful adventure to embark on if you haven't already, at the year end and at the year's beginning. Because think about it, even if you don't put that much emphasis on the idea that there are 12 or 13 or whatever, however many months, and there are 365 days or 364 days, 366 days in a year, whatever that is, you know, like having a certain period. You can take it by a month, you can take it by a week, or you can take it by a year. I would encourage you to consider it on a year, a 5-year, and a 10-year basis. And of course, you're going to say, but that's absurd. How do I know what I want in 10 years' time? And that's a fair point. But I have no doubt that there are some dreams, some vision of the future in whatever area of your life, financially, you know, relationship-wise, spiritually, career-wise maybe, hobby-wise, artistically-wise, whatever that is, you know, you probably have some milestones that you'd like to go towards, or maybe you have some achievements you'd like to achieve, or goals you'd like to make your reality, or things you'd like to buy, be, do, visit, places you'd like to go, whatever that is. And the start of this adventure of yours, first and foremost, should be to figure out what would you like that to be. So a good question to ask yourself is, for example, what would my ideal life look like in 5 years' time? And I'm saying 5 years for a reason. Apparently, and I did mention it on the show before, apparently we greatly overestimate how much we can do in a year and greatly underestimate how much we can do in 5 years. So for your own benefit, because you will, you know, at some point in your journey, you will probably be hesitant and think whether or not it's worth it. For your own benefit, give yourself a little slack. And instead of planning great achievements for only 1 year forward, plan and, you know, come up with some ideas for the next 5 years. And then work back from it. So, for example, let's say that one of my goals would be to build a house, right, in the middle of the woods. I like to have a house in the middle of the woods. And I would like that to happen within the next few years. Let's assume that building of the house would happen within the next 5 years. Now, once I write that down, and I would encourage you to be writing down all that we're, you know, talking about here, all the goals, all of your dreams, there is something magical, and I don't know, you know, it just seems that it works, and if it does work, why break it, right? It just seems like people who achieve success are often the ones that have planned it in advance in some way, or at least they knew what they're going for. So do yourself a favor, grab a pen and a paper. You know, you can pause this recording right now if you need to go even fetch it from a shop. But make sure to write it down. Write down that, let's say, 10 goals for the next 5 years, or maybe what would your ideal life look like in 5 years' time? And now coming back to the example, let's say that I've written down that I'd like to build a home in the middle of the woods. I don't know, in Poland, for example. Now, of course, to make that dream come true, there has to be a certain level and certain number of things that fall into place for it to begin to materialize, right? For example, one of the things would be I would have to buy some land. It's not like I have land to build a house upon right now. And I will probably have to have money needed to fund that endeavor, unless I wanted to build it with my own hands without anyone's help. But even then, I need some money for the resources needed, right? All of this is what you will start to sort of figure out and plan backwards from it. And then you'll get to your 1 year. So let's say that I did imagine it will take me, I don't know, 200,000 to build a house and another 100,000 to buy some land, whatever. It's irrelevant, the number here, of course. And now I just walk it back, right? So for example, I figure out if I want to buy land and build a home in the next 5 years, then probably by the next 3 years, I should be able to afford it. And by the next end of the year, I should feel that I have gotten closer to affording it, right? So for example, I could now make an estimate that I'd like to earn over the next year an additional 30,000, whatever that is, right? It can be from my job, it can be from my additional side hustle I will start. My point is, don't only plan for the next year, but also plan for the bigger picture, because that way you're sort of shooting for the stars and you'll hit the moon, as they say, right? We want to make the goal inspiring, empowering, and really, really yours. You should not put down on the paper something that isn't actually your idea or you don't really care about, because it's not going to motivate you. But at the same time, don't choose too small a goal, because if you plan something that you will achieve in the next, in the first week of the year, you know, good on you. You've just achieved all of your plans and goals. But at the same time, what does that mean? Will you just sit on your ass for the next 12 months and do nothing? That's a strategy. But I doubt you can do much within 1 week, whereas you can do a lot within 52 weeks. So first step is define your success. What success means to you? And what would that be? Maybe in all the different aspects of your life, right? So what I usually do is I divide my goals for the year in my notebook into, let me just pull it up so I can tell you exactly, into 8 categories. I have health as one category, business and career as the next one, family and friends as the third one, relationships and romance as the fourth one, finance, personal development, fun and recreation, and spirituality. And these 8 areas all expect of me to have at least 3 goals written down for each of them. And, you know, the point here is these goals don't have to be achievable within a year, but you should be able to measure whether or not you have been going towards these goals within that year. So for example, if I have a goal of, I don't know, reaching another, I don't know, running a marathon. If my goal is to run a marathon, but I didn't manage to run a marathon this year, well, I better have run quite a few kilometers throughout the year to feel like I am getting closer to the ability to run a marathon, right? It shouldn't be that your goal is to run a marathon, but throughout the year you've never actually gotten out to make any run whatsoever. I mean, of course, that might be the case, but to be honest, that means you don't really want to run a marathon, right? So now that you get the point, come up with, let's say, 10 goals, 15 goals, 30 goals, 100 goals, whatever that is. You know, I challenge you to come up with 100 goals that you would like to achieve in your life. You'll see that it's quite a challenge to come up with 100, because at some point, beyond the materialistic, superficial bullshit that we tell ourselves we want, you'll find that it becomes more and more difficult to name more. So, you know, for me, it happened past the 50th goal. I managed to write down 100 in the end, but it actually took me some time to come up with the other 50, because past the 50th mark, I felt like, well, that's basically what I want, right? And then I started at some point even naming different cars that I like to have. And that's just superficial. I don't even care about cars that much. Like, I don't have one. I'd like to have one, but probably I don't need 20. So, you know, give yourself a challenge of writing down from 5 to 100 or maybe 500 goals, and then figure out which of those goals, or to what degree would you like to go for them in the coming year. Now, the thing is, and this is really, really important, there are 2 motivators which will drive you forward in your life. One is the wanting, the desire of a sort, the need for something, the wish for something. And that's the, let's say, the positive motivation, the carrot, the proverbial carrot. And then the second one is, of course, the stick, the fear of missing out, the fear of death, the fear of missing your chance, the fear of suffering, the fear of regret, whatever that fear is. You and myself might differ in many areas, but we certainly don't differ in this one. We are motivated by our wants, by our needs, and on the other side of the spectrum, let's say, we are motivated by the fear. And this fear can stem from the many things, right? From relationships, from our past traumas, from our worry about the future, from death creeping up on us, and from us wasting our time. The trick is to use both of these motivators to your benefit, right? So once you have written down a bunch of these goals and you start contemplating which one of them would you like to do over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, ask yourself, what would you feel like if you don't achieve them? Because that's a great way of noticing, of learning whether or not you actually care about a goal. For example, if I put down a goal of, buying 20 cars, and the moment I start honestly asking myself, how would I feel if I didn't get a chance to buy 20 cars? And my answer, you know, you can write it down or you can just literally observe your emotions and thinking. And my answer would be something in between the lines of like, well, I don't really care because I only need two. Then I'm tricking myself. It's not actually true that I want those 20 cars, right? Because there is no fear, no real fear connected with me not achieving that goal. So it's a great way of gauging whether or not this is actually something that you care about. If you want to be doing something, but the moment you ask yourself, how would I feel if I go through my life never trying it? And your answer is, well, it wouldn't be the best, but it doesn't really matter. Then you're not really interested in it that much, you know? You might be tricking yourself to think that this is something you want, maybe because someone else wants it and you don't want to be different, or maybe because the media or the society seems to expect you to want that. So be aware of that, you know, recognize, and only, and this is an honest advice and unsolicited advice from your fellow podcaster here, don't put down and start working towards goals that are not yours. If something doesn't feel right, if something you're not really interested in, you're just going to waste time, you know, and you're lying to yourself at some level. There is obviously something you're doing it for. The question is, who are you doing it for? And if it's not for you, then, you know, with all due respect, but you probably have better way of spending your time than pursuing a goal that is not yours and you don't care about it, especially that you won't be good at it because you're not going to be interested. So you're going to be forcing yourself to do it. And that's much more difficult than doing something you actually enjoy, you know? So now that you know, now that you've separated the proverbial wheat from the chaff, right? Because you know that these 10, 20, 100 goals you have, you want them, and you also are afraid of not achieving them, you have to plant these seeds in your mind. And my invitation to you, which is a challenge that Earl Nightingale mentions in his video, is to challenge yourself for 30 days with one of these goals. And of course, mind you, choose one that is doable in 30 days, right? So for example, for myself, if my goal for the next year is to, I don't know, lose 10 kilograms throughout the year, then a worthy goal to try for the next 30 days is to lose 1 kilogram, right? Or maybe two. Because if I'm going to say to lose the whole 10 in one month, in 30 days, then I'm probably pushing myself a little bit. It might not be healthy, actually. And of course, I'm setting myself up for failure. If I don't achieve it, I'm going to get demotivated and I'm just going to not pursue it later. And the point here is we're trying to trick our subconscious mind to help us on our journey. So you have to make it doable for yourself to begin with, because let's be honest, we're our worst bosses. And let's put it the other way. Each of us is our own most demanding boss and worst employee at the same time. You know, we say we want something And then we flake very early on. We lose motivation after 1, 2, 3 days or whenever it gets hard. And so Earl Nightingale points out that to do this 30-day challenge, you should write down this one goal that you have. For example, it might be, I lost 2 kilograms of my weight, of my excess weight, or I built 2 kilograms of muscle. And write it down on a piece of paper and keep that piece of paper with you at all times, ideally in your pocket, and read it often to yourself. And the most important part is read it at the beginning of the day as you wake up and just before you go to sleep. And this is very similar to the technique that Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill's book, suggests, as well as The Power of Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy. So I'll link both of these episodes below if you want to explore this idea in detail. But what we're doing here is we're priming our subconsciousness to start working to help us figure it out. And of course, you should not stop there. It's insanity to expect that only by saying to yourself in the morning and in the evening, I will lose weight by 2 kilograms, you will suddenly lose weight. But if you, on top of taking action, you put this into practice of reminding yourself about it, and maybe you can use the other side of the of this piece of paper to write an inspirational quote or reasons why you want to lose those 2 kilograms, or maybe some sort of an award that you're gonna reward yourself with, once you achieve it. Just make sure that it's not something that actually cancels out what you've just achieved. You know, like if you're trying to quit smoking, please, for the love of God, don't put the award for stopping smoking for a month, I will smoke a cigarette, right? Like, that's literally rendering your effort useless, right? And of course, that's a worthy ideal. If you want to quit smoking, I will link below the amazing episode about easy way to quit smoking. I did quit smoking cigarettes upon New Year's 2 years ago, or 3 years ago now. Yeah, 3 years ago. Wow, it's been a while. And just like that, cold turkey, it works, and I have no doubt you can do it too. But so here the invitation is to write down on a piece of paper one of these goals, something that you will be able to do or you will be close to achieving within 30-day period, and prime yourself by thinking about it often and by reading it ideally out loud in the morning and in the evening and any time in between. Myself and my friend Connor are doing this challenge right now. I've written down a little goal of mine, an aspiration that I have for the next 30 days. And I'm excited to try this experience with you as well. So the 5 points that Earl Nightingale points out in his audio recording are, first of all, your thoughts, right? So we've just discussed it. Make sure to think about it often. I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson that said that a man becomes what he thinks about all day long, or something like that. And Marcus Aurelius said a similar thing, that we become what we think, right? Our thoughts determine our reality. And I think there is also often quoted, I don't know if it's a true quote, of Einstein, that the world as we have created it is a process of our thinking. And so you have to change your thinking to change your world. And that quote always spoke to me as a really big motivator. So the first step is, of course, prime yourself, put those thoughts in order. Think, what is it that you want and why? Secondly, you should imagine it often, right? You should dream about it as if it was already a reality. Treat it as if it's an obvious outcome. A good example of it is when kids are playing pretend. In many ways, you know, there is a huge power in playing pretend. If you've ever had imposter syndrome when you started doing something and then at some point you realize that now you know how to do it, well, what you just did is you played pretend for some time and then suddenly you're no longer playing pretend. You're actually doing it. And that's, you know, some people fake it till you make it. Some people say that it is, you know, practice makes perfect or whatever. From my perspective, it just seems very, very obvious. I don't know how to record podcasts until I start learning about recording podcasts, but most importantly, until I start recording them. And over time, it just becomes something that I do. And here we are, you know, four years and counting. And yeah, I don't know, maybe I'm still, you know, bad at it, but I don't feel the imposter syndrome anymore. I don't feel like this is something I'm pretending I'm doing. I know that I'm doing it, and I'm fairly certain that it's not the worst of the work. Now, the third point that Earl points out is to have courage to act, to claim that dream of yours, because this is a big point. If you have some dreams, some ideas, some hopes, you know, some goals, don't expect others to share your goals. And in many ways, sometimes it might be better that you don't share them with others. For example, I'm not 100% sure if you want to change something about yourself that others might want to change about themselves, but they don't feel comfortable changing, I wouldn't be surprised if they actually try to put you down when you start changing. There is this unfortunate reality that sometimes even those that really love us and wish for us well simply act out of their own habit, and in a way sometimes feel attacked when we're trying to change something. You know, if you have a group of friends and everyone gets drunk all the time and they're partying all the time and everyone is smoking all the time, it can be very difficult to stop drinking and stop smoking. I know, because I've been through that, and one of my friends been through that with me as well. And I was very impressed when he quit all of that. And, you know, a few years later, I quit it with him. It is difficult at times, but if you're doing it for yourself and if you know this is something you want to do, just do it. And don't care that much about others. And in some ways, maybe don't tell them you're doing it in the meantime, you know, because maybe that way you're opening yourself up for criticism and peer pressure and risking that your goal will not be achieved because someone will actually make an effort to help you not achieve it. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's true. So be aware and be courageous. And maybe sometimes stay away from telling others about your goals while you're trying to achieve them. Show them the results. That's a very different story. They cannot affect the results. Once you're on the other side and you're sorted, then make a post, share it with a friend, go tell others, whatever. You know, it is said that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, right? And I would encourage you to not ask for any permission from anyone when it comes to your own dreams. As long as they are your own and they are not affecting anyone in a negative way, you should be just doing them. You should not ask anyone's permission whatsoever to pursue your dreams. They are your own. It's your own life. Do what you have to do. It's yours. No one can tell you otherwise. Now, the fourth point is quite interesting because Earl actually mentions in his video financial success, right? So one of the big points that we've talked about when we talked about money in the episode, let's talk about money, is this habit of paying yourself first, of keeping that 10% for yourself of your pay. And of course, this is a small point. Maybe you're doing it already. But since the beginning of the year is here, the end of the year is here, I think it's a good moment to remind yourself that if you are not saving a 10% of whatever you're being paid or investing it, even better, then please consider doing that. It's like planting seeds of your future self's benefit And I don't see how that wouldn't be a good idea for anyone out there. But please, you know, refer to the episode Let's Talk About Money if you want to explore this topic. I don't want to be sidetracked here. And of course, the fifth point, the biggest point, is take action, right? Actually do what you said you're going to do. Define your success, whatever that goal is. Define your 30-day goal, half a year goal, 1 year goal, 5 year goal, and then work towards it. Do maybe consider this, and this is really encouraging for anyone out there, because I think anyone can do 1% more each day. That's not much, you know, 10 minutes each day over the year will reap you much better results than no minutes each day. So even if you feel like you're swamped and you don't have time for your other activities, I bet you can carve out 10 minutes each day, 20 minutes each day, 30 minutes each day, even probably a few hours each day, because I know majority of us, including myself, waste quite a few hours a day on stuff that doesn't really need to be, you know, attended to. Maybe social media. Maybe one of your challenges would be to get off social media for the coming months. I don't know. You know, that's something that my sister did recently, and she's enjoying it for sure. I've definitely, but after withdrawing from social media more, I've also noticed that I just don't waste as much time on them as I used to. So maybe it's something you want to change in your life. You know, of course, you won't be able to change until you actually decide to change. I'm not going to be able to help you change. I can only share a few thoughts, ideas, and give you some direction. But at the end of the day, it's completely up to you. And, you know, we're all adults here. I don't think there are many people listening to this show that aren't at least just about to be adults. I think my talking is too boring to kids, and I'm not surprised. We're talking about serious topics here. But exactly because of that, I just want to remind you, you know, you are in charge of your life. And if you don't feel like you're in charge, then you got to fix that out, right? That's not right. You should feel in charge of your life. If you're not in charge of your time, do whatever is needed to start being in charge of your time. Manage your time well. If you're not in charge of your life goals, maybe review what are you doing. If you're doing something for someone else, there is this saying that if you're not living your life for yourself, then you're living it for someone else. And that's a very dangerous path, because you don't know what kind of a script they're writing for you. And, you know, it's kind of like if you're not the star in your own movie, then you're a star in someone else's movie. And yeah, the point here is you don't know what's there for you, and it's not necessarily something you might want, right? So I guess my message for this year and my wishes for you for the coming 2026, I think a year which is going to be as wonderful or even more wonderful than 2025, is quite frankly this. Take some time, you know, sit down with a piece of paper, maybe with a calendar, maybe with, you know, your notebook or whatever, and ask yourself what you would like this year to be about, and how would that fit in your greater vision of the future. You can create your future. You are in charge of creating that future every day. Every day and every action, everything you do is in some way, for the better or worse, shaping your future. And Earl makes this point that wherever you are right now, you are there because of your actions and how you've reacted to the opportunities that you were given and the experiences that you experienced over the past years. And you can, and you will, by your actions, shape your future. And the question is what you would like your future to look like, and what would you like 2026 to look like? I'm expecting wonderful things for myself in 2026, and you should too, you know? And I'm expecting that for you. This is the, I think, the wonderful thing about wishing people well, is there is no way your well-being can jeopardize my own. And I don't see why I wouldn't be cheering you all day long for your own benefit. Because, you know, when you become a better person, my life becomes better. I have no doubt about it. And it's a selfish, selfless act to work on ourselves and to achieve our dreams, because we simply beacon hope for others and we inspire others and we help others. And, you know, let's be honest, if you are a better person because of what you did for yourself, you're probably a better person for others, and everyone wins, you know. The only way not to win in this game is if you're doing things that are against other people. And this is certainly not what I'm advocating. I hope that your dreams are noble, that are inspiring for you in particular, and that will make you a better person because you're trying to achieve them. And in some ways, maybe the journey is the destination. Because as Napoleon Hill often said in his speeches and in the book, and Jim Rohn as well, who my early episodes of the podcast were dedicated to, a gentleman from a similar time that than Earl Nightingale, he always said that, you know, you are, at the end of the day, working towards a worthy ideal, and you might not even attain it, but the kind of a person you will become to get there will certainly be worth it. By every measure, by trying to become a better, more attractive, more healthy, more stable, more strong, more patient, more kind, more loving person, I have no doubt you are improving yourself as a human being, and you are basically unlocking your potential. You're raising your standards, like Tony Robbins likes to say. So yeah, this is basically it for this year. I'm very, very grateful for you to be here on this adventure with me. It's been a wonderful year, and I hope that it was for you as well. I wish you and your family and your loved ones and anyone that, you know, is out there as well, surrounded and sort of impacted by you, to have a wonderful time during both the Christmas, if you're celebrating Christmas, the New Year, if you're celebrating New Year, or the upcoming weeks, if you're not celebrating any of that and you're just listening to this podcast right now at whatever time, space, moment in the future. It's interesting, you know, like making episodes for year ends seem like a useless thing if someone's listening to it after the new year, but I am hoping that it will be useful for someone, even if they're listening to it in 2064 May. If you are, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully I'm still around. But yeah, I bid you a kind farewell, my friends. Thank you so much for being. Thank you for your wonderful messages. It is truly, truly great. And I bet there is a great year ahead for us. I'm hoping, as I said, to my intention for the next year. And I encourage you to have an intention for a year. My intention for the next year in terms of the podcast is certainly to bring on more guests. That's the whole point of making the studio more spacious and more guest friendly. So I'm hoping to discuss some incredible adventures and topics with my many guests that I'm starting to book by now. And yeah, have a wonderful, wonderful time. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Please, please, please make sure to, you know, go towards your dreams and write them down and make them happen. And let me know how it's going. If you need any encouragement or support at some point in the year, please reach out. I'm really happy to maybe suggest a book or maybe just have a friendly convo on email or on the phone. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. Stay happy, stay healthy. And I'll see you in 2026. Bye-bye.